Welcome to MLB.com Extra, Baltimore Orioles edition. I'm Paul Hagen here with Matthew Leach. We're going to be talking with Brittany Giroli about one of the more fascinating teams in the American League this year. The Orioles didn't make a lot of noise in the offseason, but at the end of the offseason, they picked up Nelson Cruz and Ubaldo Jimenez and have been right in the thick of the race in the American League East all year.
Yeah, it's a curious team because they've actually had some things go wrong. I mean, they've certainly had some things go right, but they've also really had some things go wrong, and they're still leading the division. I think they are. There's some things you could have told them that they'd be pretty happy to know right now. Britt, let's kind of start with that. If I told you that Bud Norris would be good but would have missed some starts, that Jimenez would have an ERA of 4.5, and they'd be in first place back in March, would you believe that?
I think you would have, just because when you look at some of the other things that they've done right. As you mentioned, Bud Norris is pitching really well. Closer Zach Britton, ever since they moved him into that ninth inning, I mean, he was dominant from day one of spring training on. So as many things as they've had gone wrong, they've had guys like Steve Pierce step up and fill in for Chris Davis's lack of power. They've had a ridiculous year so far from Nelson Cruz. So, you know, while they might be surprising when you look at it from afar, if you really look at some of the years some of these guys are having, I think it makes sense when you look at the rest of the division and how nobody has really set themselves apart that the Orioles are in first place.
Seems like one of the things that jumps out is some of the bounce back years that, you know, obviously Cruz has had, but he's not the only one. Nick Markakis is having a nice year. It seems like there's a lot to like about this offense, and you mentioned Steve Pierce. I mean, do you think this is an offense that's going to hit like this in the second half? Do you think this is what they really are offensively?
Well, I think they could even get better. As I mentioned, Chris Davis hasn't really been hitting. J.J. Hardy's only got 3 home runs. He's a guy who, over the course of his career, has certainly shown flashes of power. He's been a pretty consistent with a 20 home run type of guy since he came to the Orioles. So they could actually get better offensively. Manny Machado starting to click after the suspension, missing the first month of the season. So there's actually a lot of optimism when you look at this club going into the second half.
Brittany, so far the Orioles have weathered the loss of Matt Wieters for the season. A lot of times you see a team be able to pick up the slack in the short term. Do you think they're going to be able to keep this up in the long term at catcher?
Well, I think that they've really been encouraged with the way that Caleb Joseph has been playing. In terms of long term, I still think that Matt Wieters is the best solution. Whether or not they end up signing him long term, of course, they only have one more season of him, and they're optimistic to be able to start that season because he had Tommy John surgery. But when you look at how they've been able to fill those holes, it's interesting because Caleb Joseph is never seen as a defensive guy. If anything, he was seen as a high-character offensive player who really struggled behind the plate. And he's made huge, huge gains. And does it change, perhaps, how they approach those Matt Wieters negotiations? I'm not sure. But I do know that you were kind of worried and expecting much more of a drop-off behind the plate than you've gotten. The pitchers love throwing to Caleb Joseph. They really responded well. And he seems to be getting better and better.
This is a front office that has certainly been willing to be bold and aggressive, sometimes at surprising times, as we saw this winter. But what do they think they need to do, and what do they think they can accomplish between now and the non-waiver trade deadline?
I don't know if it's that much, to be honest with you. They've never been a club that's been kind of ready for that blockbuster move. They don't want to sacrifice the future, and I don't see them sacrificing the future and making a move to acquire any kind of frontline starter, which is really still their biggest need. You look at that rotation, yes, they've been pitching well, but nobody in that rotation really scares you, so to speak. So I think when you look at what they could possibly do, maybe add a reliever, that's about it. I mean, maybe second base. They really like the job that Jonathan Scope has done out there in the field, so I don't think they're going to make any huge moves. They did get Norris last year at the trade deadline, which was a little bit of a shock to some that they went out and got the starter. I don't see anybody within that realm who could really help them immediately. They have Kevin Gausman in AAA. They feel like Dylan Bundy could possibly be a bullpen piece. So I don't see them making a whole lot of waves over the next few weeks.
You just mentioned exactly who I was wondering about. I mean, Gausman has really shown some stuff this year, and everybody knows how excited they are about Bundy. I mean, both those guys are in kind of interesting situations. But you know, what kind of impacts do you expect those guys to have on this club in the second half?
With Bundy, not quite as much as we originally thought, just because they said yesterday, all of a sudden, that Dylan Bundy is not going to go over 75 pitches. So he's going to be a guy that's pretty limited. And that's a little different than what we had thought previously going in. So I think Kevin Gausman is definitely going to have an impact. You can make the case that he should be in that rotation right now. But Dylan Bundy certainly could be a power righty. I kind of compare it to maybe the David Price situation. He comes up, ends up being that guy in the eighth and ninth inning who really helps them and gets them going when the games matter in September.
We've talked a lot about how no team has really taken charge of the American League East. In your mind, which is the team the Orioles have to look at most as the biggest threat for them the rest of the way?
That's a good question. I think right now it has to be Toronto, but when you look at the way this division, like I said, no one's really separated themselves, had a chance to see them all numerous times. Really could be the Yankees as well. The Rays are fully capable of getting hot and making a run. I certainly didn't expect them to be this bad. So I think when you look at it, from the Orioles perspective right now, you have to like being in the driver's seat, but also you have to know that this is a division where things can change instantly. A lot of it's going to depend on injuries. And I think they're just kind of focused right now on their own business, keep winning games, the rest will take care of itself.
How big? I know he's somebody that's been talked about for years, and it's almost a tired story, but I sort of worry that, you know, in that we kind of lose sight again. How big a part of what they're doing here is the manager? I mean, Buck Showalter, again, is really seems like just puts pieces in the right position, handles the bullpen. How big a part of what they're doing, being back in first place this year, is their manager?
Oh, a big part. I mean, he's really changed the whole philosophy ever since he came over. So I think when you look at the club, the way it's currently constructed, they didn't get here. They didn't become a winning team just by adding players. They did it by changing the mindset, changing the culture, really. And that's what Buck has brought. He's a leader. They were a team and an organization that badly needs direction, and I think they've got it.
In the past, Buck has had a reputation for maybe overmanaging a little bit. Do you think he's mellowed a little bit at this point in his career?
A little bit, although I've only seen him here with the Orioles, so I'm probably not the best person to ask. I did hear from other reporters that, you know, kind of say Buck allows a ping-pong table in the clubhouse and things that maybe weren't allowed previously, but he seems to have relaxed. Again, it's hard to base it because I didn't see him up close in Texas or New York, but all indications are that he's kind of learned from that experience and has kind of been able to appreciate the ride, I think, a little bit more.
But it's not exactly the same roster has been there the last couple of years, but a lot of these guys have been through this now. How much of a difference do you think that makes? How big a factor do you think it is as they go into contention this year that these guys have been here before? This is not the first time around in battling for a division title for them.
I think it makes a difference. When they were first making that initial run in 2012, the big issue was no one really had postseason experience. And that's part of the reason why they were so adamant about getting Jim Tomei and adding him to the club. Obviously, the guy was on the decline in his career, but they needed somebody who had been there before, who had been in that situation and knew how those games go. And I think adding that, having the experience, all those guys getting to go through that, and then last year, you know, facing a disappointment. And all of a sudden, they were expected to go to the postseason and they didn't make it, and it hurt a whole lot worse, I think, than previous years because they were finally expected to be that team. So over the last couple of years, a lot of the guys in there have really matured, really grown, and I think that when you look at that 2012 postseason run, there's starting to be a lot of similarities with this season. They've been playing a lot of extra innings, they've been able to win these games, and there's been a lot of victories that they had no business winning. And that, of course, was the blueprint
of 2012. Well, the Orioles will certainly be an interesting team to watch the rest of the way. Brittany, thanks for joining us.